you got me so blind. I'm walking around a circle, about to lose my mind. The way you got me, you're rolling your ball. Again. Now baby, you're as sweet as you can be. Anything you do, keep on saying to me. Body kiss to your lips, and a touch of your hand. Anything you do is pretty grand. Oh baby, yeah, what can I do? I'm up around a circle just in love with you. The way you got me, rolling your ball. Sweet as you can be, anything you do, keep on saying to me. Body kiss to your lips, and a touch to your hand. Anything you do is baby. Hey, now what can I do? I'm walking around a circle just in love with you. The way you got me, rolling your ball. Can't do my homework in the morning. Can't do my homework in the morning. Can't do my homework in the morning. Can't do my homework in the morning.
Cha cha cha. That. You're welcome. That is homework from the one and only Nine Below Zero. And on the phone right now, I have got the man that I think, although there's a bunch of them, I feel this man is Nine Below Zero. It's Dennis Greaves. Dennis, welcome to the show.
Hi, Ian. Thank you for having me.
How are you?
Isolated.
Well, I'm glad we could talk then, because it just breaks the isolation up a bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, it certainly does, yeah. I was just thinking there's about 900 people in that room singing along with us there.
Yeah.
Oh, how I missed them.
That was live at the Marquee, wasn't it?
That's right, yeah.
Oh, and how long had you been together when you did that?
I was looking, I think Mickey Berkey. So I met Mark Felton in 77.
Yeah.
We changed the name in 79 to Nine Below Zero. So I was with a bunch of schoolmates, Pete Clark, Kenny Bradley, me and Mark.
Yeah.
And then Mickey Berkey joined in March 80. So we recorded that. Yeah, so we've been together a couple of years then, just grinding around and, you know, the North and South London pubs and clubs.
But the energy that come out of that and you got from the audience was just amazing.
Amazing, yeah. But also, you know, I was going to see The Jam, The Clash at the time, and lots of great energy bands, loads of energy, and London was buzzing at that time with live music. So we all plugged into that together, and that's where that energy comes from. But my love and passion was Muddy Waters. It sounds a weird mix, but, you know, I idolised Muddy and all those guys. So I would have seen Muddy at the Rainbow in 1978.
Wow.
Yeah, I was playing like a lunatic, you know.
Yeah, I bet. I bet.
Funny,
did you use his inspiration for your guitar style?
Not Muddy. I used my inspiration from Freddie King, probably.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And Chuck Berry, because I bought the 335. Well, my dad, bless him, bought the 335 for me, the cherry red one.
Oh, that's a lovely guitar, that.
Although B.B. King's a 345, technicality. But Chuck Berry, B.B. King for the guitar, and Muddy Waters just as an all-round god for me.
So whose style did you sort, because when you must write your first songs, you must borrow somebody's style, surely, to
Chuck Berry first.
It was Chuck Berry.
Songs, Chuck Berry, yeah.
Oh, wow. And what was the first song you wrote?
Is That You?
Oh.
I think it's on the B-side of that Homework single, funny enough.
Is it? I've only got the album. I bought the album from one of your gigs.
Did ya?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got, I think we went in the studio, that's right, we went in the studio and recorded it with Pete Wingfield producing, and we didn't have a B-side, so it was one of those classic things.
Yep.
I knocked up in the studio. It was in the key of B, I remember it well.
Good old blues key.
It was a complete rip-off of Chuck Berry, but you've got to start somewhere.
Did I ever tell you I met Chuck Berry?
Yeah, we did as well. We played with him at the 100 Club. How was he with you?
He was lovely with me. Must have been about 20 years ago now.
Right.
And it was in Cabaret for Mitsubishi Motors at the NEC, not the NEC, the hotel next to the NEC in Birmingham.
I know.
And
I think I stayed there.
I think I've done many a gig there as well. Wow. Mm. But this was in a different room than I've ever played in. And Chuck Berry was there, and my friend was DJing. And I wasn't actually working that night. I drove my friend there and drove him back because he couldn't drive on motorways. And I met Chuck Berry, went backstage, and he was just standing there. And he looked at me, and I looked at him and said, "Hello, Mr. Berry." And he went, "Hi." And I said, "Thank you for rock and roll."
Because I
introduced myself as a DJ, and he went, "No, thank you guys for keeping my music alive." I thought,
"Oh, that's nice.
You're not the man everybody tells me about."
No, you got him on a good day. You know, my dear friend Carmelo in Italy used to run his fan club and has got very close with the family. You know,
yeah,
You know, there's stories and things, but he found him. Yeah, he just didn't do small talk, really.
No.
And if he was tired, because he used to have to drive himself around. He wouldn't let anyone drive him around.
That's
so
right.
So he'd arrive at Heathrow, pick up a Mercedes, and drive around. And sometimes in his later days, he'd get very tired.
Yeah.
You know, because he still worked, you know.
Oh, he worked up. I think he worked up to the last, didn't he?
He did, yeah. I think we did one of the last few gigs he ever done at the 100 Club.
Wow. That's awesome.
It's pretty special. I mean, what was special was the sound check, because he sat on his amp. I mean, and it sounded like a train. It sounded like I was on the underground and it was coming through, you know, on the Piccadilly line.
Yeah.
And he played the blues song. I'll remember it in a minute. And it was just like the closest I had been to what I dreamed of, you know, Delta blues.
Yeah.
It was quite astonishing. I mean, I'm so glad that I was able to witness that.
These moments in life that you cherish, you never forget these things, do you?
Yeah, because, you know, he could play the blues, and he was very much a Little Walter fan. I think it was A Mean Old World he played, actually, Little Walter song.
Oh, wow.
And all those guys, you know. I think him and T-Bone Walker are quite amazing, really.
Oh, as blues guys, yes,
yeah,
definitely. So when you started 9 Below Zero, did you look at yourself as an R&B band, a pub rock band, or a mod band?
But do you know what? We're so lucky that 9 Below Zero embraces many, many things. We were one of the few bands. We played Reading Rock Festival, and we'd play a scooter rally the next day. Both audiences were sort of, we cut across, it's a weird thing to say. And then when we started writing our own material, we just became 9 Below Zero with all those, you know, I mean, like the Player Rockers Festival, you know, they loved it, but they loved the energy, and we'd do I Can't Cook You Baby, and they'd think it was like Led Zeppelin song,
yeah,
you know, and then we'd do a scooter rally, and it was all the Green Onions, kind of get a witness feel, you know what I mean, which is like the essence and the start of the sounds they were listening to. And both my uncles were mods in the 60s, and both my uncles used to go and see John Mayall's Blues Breakers at the Marquee in 67, 68, 69. And that's where I got my love of the blues, through their record collection, really.
Yeah, I got my love of soul and jazz from my dad. So it does seep through through the pores into the body.
Yeah, my dad was very much into Frank Sinatra, Tony Bennett, and Brooke Benton, and Johnny Mathis.
We love a bit of Brooke, don't we?
We love a bit of Brooke and of the crooners, you know, which are astonishing. If you listen back to them recordings of Sinatra standing in the room with the band.
Oh, yeah.
Quite phenomenal, really. I don't think we quite appreciate our generation of, because obviously we come up with Stones, the Beatles, and Howlin' Wolf, and Johnny Hooker. But, and I didn't want to be uncool with my dad, because he was listening to the crooners, and I thought, you know, I mean, my dad used to go to the Boston Arms and watch this young bloke, a bus conductor. you know what I mean?
Yeah, Matt Monroe.
His musical director was
George Martin.
I forgot that. No, it was, what's his name's brother, Mike Graze's brother.
Oh, really?
Which was his MD. And my mum and dad were 19, 20, and they go to Boston Arms, and Matt would come in and sing. They had that great tradition of being music fans, and I definitely fell into that, you know.
Oh, of course. But
Mum and Dad's collection was probably, my mum's would have been Adam Faith.
Yeah.
And my dad's would have been Frank.
See, I had an older sister, so I got the Motown stuff from her.
Oh, gorgeous.
So she had the singles, she had the albums, she had...
Yeah.
So that's where I got the love of that from. So
yeah.
you and I pretty much like the same stuff on musically that we listen to.
Yeah.
So I think that's why we get on.
yeah. And I think also there's only good and bad music, isn't there? Yeah. I think it's very, very healthy to... You know, and that's what I like about my kids in the house when they're playing their stuff. I'm picking up stuff and learning, and I'm doing the same for them. You know,
that's good. We're always learning in the music world. Always learning. Stop.
And in this downtime, I've decided to learn a new track a day. Today it's Last Train to Clarksville.
Oh, you can meet me at the station. We'll have time for coffee, flavoured kisses, and a bit of conversation.
Oh, good. Well, you can sing it next time. No, we'll do it. I'll do it at the jam for you.
We'll do it. Yeah. I'm up for that, totally.
Yeah.
So let's go back. We're in 9 Below Zero. You've done a couple of telly performances. You did the young ones.
Yep.
Doing 11 plus 11. I must sound like a 9 Below Zero anorak here. And then you did a South Bank special as well, didn't you?
We did, with Dr. Feelgood and the Blues Band, very good.
That was like three different elements of the blues that were going around 60s, at the time.
60s, 70s and 80s. We were the 80s representing.
That was good. I love that. And 9 Below Zero have just kept going.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
virtually in a up to what last year, virtually in a very similar lineup.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. The good thing about our music, and the other great thing about 9 Below Zero, we never had a hit.
Yeah.
So we're not a one hit wonder. We're more like an institution, a cult band. We're a cult band. And the great thing about the music and as well the genre is you never arrive. You never think, oh, I've got this now. You're always, it's journeyman music. That's the great thing, you know. Watching Clapton still playing and Billy Gibbons, you know, these guys, it's great because you're just learning all the time and honing in your craft.
Oh, yeah.
And that's just kept us going. And now I've got some young guys in the band and girl. It's just, it enables me not to be a tribute of myself. I do not want to be going around playing the same old songs.
You're keeping it fresh.
Living in the past. I it's pointless.
Yeah.
You have to push forward. You have to produce new songs, not only for yourself, but for your punters.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, but it also keeps it fresh, doesn't it, Dan?
Yeah, and I think if you any institution that's been around for 40 years, it would be unusual to have the same people, the same staff in that institution. I mean, you know, when we first started, we were all schoolmates, and it was terrific. And then the second phase with the Irish lads, Jerry and Brendan, was an amazing period. That went on just a bit too long.
Right.
I should have stopped that at its peak.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it got tired. And now I'm learning when things get tired, just to tweak it and change it and get these, you know, other kids. Like, I mean, you know, my son on drums, you know, Sonny, he's just getting better and better and better. And I watch him learn, and when he can shuffle like Mick Fleetwood, you know, I'm in heaven.
He's a great little drummer. I mean, I watch him at your jam, and he'd just go in for anything.
You know, he's 22, and I just think what he's going to be like when he's 42.
Oh, of course.
It's going to be amazing.
Of course. He'll go, I don't know this one, Dad. And you'll go, it goes like this. And he'll just drum it like that.
You know that the track I think you're going to play, I Want to Be a Wannabe? It's funny. I was writing it, and he helped me write it. And I'm going, and this is a proud moment. I said, look, I want you to play like that geezer from Blondie. You know,
Clem.
And he went, oh, Clem Burke. I said, yeah, and he got it straight away. I thought that I'm so proud of my fatherhood, because I've done a good job. He knew who I was talking about and what I wanted, and I thought, wow, that's really good.
So,
and that's why it's important. Any kids learning the music, learn across the board, learn loads of different things, because you never know when you want to plug into it.
No, that's right. Keep all those styles in a little bank in your brain, and you know when to pull them out and use that.
Yes, mate.
That's brilliant. I mean, you do much the same with the guitar. I mean, I've seen you play everything. And then a couple of months ago, when my friend Lee came down, I said, I want to do I Need Your Love So Bad.
Oh, man, that was a good call.
I've never played this, you've gone. And he played the riff, and halfway through the song, you played the riff, and you took another, whoa!
It was in there somewhere.
Yeah, and it just came out.
Yeah, it was in the funny, isn't it?
That's brilliant. So let's give a name check then. You've got on the drums you got Sonny, on the bass you got Ben, keyboard you got Tom, the lovely Tom Monks. He's
a very talented boy. He's 22, 23 now as well. I mean,
he's wild. He's great. He's just full of energy.
He's multi-instrumental. He can play the whole Beatles catalogue on guitar and keyboards. That's how he got the job.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I watch him play. I watch his face when he plays. It's
he loves it.
Awesome.
He's born to play, and he has perfect pitch as well.
Yeah, that's.
They tell you what key the air conditioner's in.
Bless him. You've got now a backing vocalist and percussionist, Charlie. She's a new vocalist.
Charlie's amazing. Yeah.
You found her at the jam as well, didn't you?
A jam. She walked up and said, "Oh, may I sing?" Very polite, Charlie. I've turned her into a right yob. Very politely asked if she could sing "Stormy Monday," and she opened her mouth on the first few bars, and the whole place just fell silent.
Oh wow!
And so we was recording 13 Shades of Blue at the time. So I got in the studio on the Monday to sing the Aretha Franklin song. You know, never. What one was it I did?
The Aretha Franklin song you do?
Yeah.
I don't know, I can't remember.
You Lied.
Oh, right. Yes, I know. I know the one you mean.
Yeah. So she's, and what I like about Charlie, she's not your standard bluesy shouter singer.
She's got the power there, but she's got the tunefulness with it.
Yeah, she's a Christine McPhee type for me, you know.
That's it, I know.
You know, she knows the blues, she knows the notes, she studied it, but she has this sort of quintessential English rose voice in there, you know, with pristine, perfect, and even Dusty, a bit of Dusty in there, you know.
That's nice to have.
Yeah, white soul singer, very, very good.
So you've got Charlie. Now, then you've got, what for me, the two people that are 9 Below 0, that's you and Mark.
Young Mark Felton.
Yeah. because his harmonica playing is, it's legendary. Two, it's got his own sound, so you know that's Mark playing.
Yes.
When you hear him, and he's got his own style on stage, and you can't take your eyes off him when he's doing a solo.
Yeah, there's no one like him. No.
No, and that altogether, that now makes the 9 Below 0 of the 21st century.
Yes, certainly does.
So,
yes,
but yes. Going back, you also go out with Mark as a duo, don't you? Just doing,
yeah,
doing blues
really,
stuff.
Oh man, am I enjoying that? Yeah, we go out and we play what took us to when we first met.
Yeah.
So 1977 we met, and he played me Jay Gale's band. I played him Dr. Feelgood. Then he played me Sonny Terry band and McGee and Charlie McCoy. And we start there. We start with the people that we loved and where they got it from.
Yeah.
And it's almost a history lesson of American folk music, you know.
Wow, that's...
And we go right back to Lead Belly, Robert Johnson, Burnside, R.L. Burnside. We take a right trip, and it's a fascinating show because... you know, and the great thing is you get Mark undiluted, you know, by the band. So
yes,
you
so it's just
him,
you and Mark, isn't it?
Just me and him, and my job is just to support him.
Yeah.
It's great. It's a great show. If you can ever get to see it, come along and watch The Master at Work.
Hopefully, well, when the times change, yeah, we will do that. Because I wanted to come to one of your gigs at the Pizza Express, but I ended up working that night.
They're great gigs. I love the Pizza Express gigs. What a great little venue for little blues and jazz gigs.
Oh, yeah, it
you
is.
Know, they're
totally.
Really, really good.
My mate Les and I went to see Bradley Walsh talking to a guy called John Altman down the one in Holborn.
Yeah, that's my favourite one. Yeah.
That is. It's much better than the other one.
I like there's one Kings Road, Holborn, Soho.
Yeah.
What's the other one we play? Oh, Maidstone we play.
Yeah, there's the Pheasantry, isn't there?
Yeah, we did Birmingham one.
Oh, yes, yeah. That's right. Remember you doing that one.
All lovely venues.
I've seen you play with another band as well.
Who's that?
That was a mod band. It was at the Pelton.
Yeah, The Truth.
The Truth, that's it. And how did that come about?
Okay, so in 1982, after Third Degree, 9 Below Zero sort of hit a brick wall. We'd done thousands of gigs, three albums. We hadn't stopped. We were tired. So I went and formed. Mark went off to be an amazing session musician.
Yeah,
and I formed a band, having fallen in love with Tamla Motown, funny enough, and pop soul. I put a pop soul band together, and I found, funny enough, all the band came from the Melody Maker. Great, isn't it?
Yeah.
Dennis Greaves looking for so and so to form a new band. Lovely days. So everybody sort of applied, I auditioned, and I put this band together. But I fell in love with a Hammond organ on Third Degree, so I was able to get a Hammond organ player, two guitars, bass and drums, and got a deal with Warner Brothers, and with The Truth, we had two or three hits.
Yeah.
I did 7 years, and I got to tour America twice. And it was a real good sort of 7 year period.
Because I'm going to be honest with you. I've got to be honest with you. I didn't know about The Truth.
Isn't it funny?
I didn't know about it until I came down to the Pelton that night, and they did. It was a Friday, I think, and they did the first half of the night, and then the jam took over the second half of the night.
Yeah, that's right.
And I thought, wow, this band's amazing. Absolutely, yeah. The energy that was coming out of that as well. Because that's, I think, the first time I heard you do give me a little time. The Brenton Woodson.
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You did it with them, and I thought, wow, this is absolutely awesome. Yeah. And well, I was already into you, but by the time I'd seen them, I was into 9 Below Zero because I came to the party late. I'm going to be honest, then.
No,
I came to the party late because
mind if you came yesterday? It's great. as long as you've arrived.
Oh, I've arrived and I've made up for it.
Mate.
I think I've made up for it.
You certainly have.
But you also do a jam on when the pubs are open, the last Sunday of every month at the Pelton Arms in South London in Greenwich.
Yeah, I it's very important that I'm a very social animal, and also I'm aware that I need to pay back some of my dues. And if, you know, as you know, it's full of young people coming up and wanting to play with us.
Well, there's some amazing talent gets
some lovely talent, keeps the blues alive, and more importantly, keeps our pubs active with music. Because the reason I do it is because I started at Thomas and Beckett, and the landlord there gave me a start, gave me a residency. And if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing.
Wow.
Because she let me do an apprenticeship. She let me hone my craft. She let me learn how to play in front of people. And the good thing I do about the blues jam as well, it's 3 hours. And my plan is not to get bored with myself.
Yeah.
So I look down at my fingers and I think, right, what can I do?
Where haven't you been on the fretboard
where
tonight?
Where haven't I been on the fretboard? What am I, and that's very important that, I play for that length amount of time and I embrace and get inspire as many people as I can.
Oh, yeah. And you encourage young wannabe singers like me.
Very much. To get up. Young people like yourself are more than welcome.
I've got to be honest with you. It blows me away sometimes when you just call me up to sing.
Yeah, we don't know what we're doing. Do you like that?
I love it.
I really think it's a great, being creative is very risk-taking. You've got to take risks.
Oh, yes, but then you can start a song and you'll look at me and ask me to come up, especially when you asked me to come up last time, the last jam, Don't Point Your Finger at the Guitar Man. I've got to tell you, I was on a high till the next day for that.
Oh, lovely.
Because let's face it, you've got, 80% of Nine Below Zero on that stage?
Yes, yes.
So it's like getting up with Nine Below Zero.
Yeah, and I use that. The reason I do that is that, and I did it with Mickey and Ben before.
Keeps everyone grounded.
It keeps everybody grounded, but also, Mickey and I, when we got back together, you have to read each other.
Yeah.
And it took a while, and it's nothing like the jam to be out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
Where are we going here? What are we doing? And reading the shoulders and it's just telegraphing by looking at each other where we're going, what we're doing.
Oh,
and really, it's like when Sonny and Ben first got together, he never hit the front of the bass drum, on the bass note. And now they do. And it's just by playing together. And someone comes up and says, do so-and-so song. We haven't got a clue what we're doing. We're all learning and on our feet.
Busking,
it puts a tremendous amount of pressure on you. And tell you what, it's worth 50,000 rehearsals.
Oh, of course.
One blues jam.
I totally agree with you. Totally agree with you. I mean, the bass player in my band is the bass player in the jam band that I'm in.
Oh, cool.
And then the rest of the jam band, Depp with my band, if we need them. So because we all know each other and we all play with each other. So that is what you're saying is completely right. But now we're going to come all the way up to the modern day because you've got a new album out. And please God, when this madness stops,
man.
And I don't mean the band; I mean what's going on this time.
Sure.
When the madness stops, you got a tour to get on with.
I hope so, mate. I hope so. I mean, it's hard to say what's going to happen at the moment, but, it's very, I was watching, I think Joe Bonamassa put up a tweet last night. He said, I just want to remind myself what I did. And he does play a bit of guitar. And it's a bit like that because I've known nothing else. And it's really hurtful to sit here and not go and play. It's not like a job, it's a career, and we were on fire. The last gig we did in Ipswich, early March, the band were amazing, two sets, sold out show, loads of CDs sold, and that's very important to us.
Oh, yeah.
And I just ordered another 2,000 CDs, and they've gone straight in the garage, because there's no one to sell them to.
But people can get them off your website if they get in touch with you.
They can, and that would be lovely. But, so it's hurtful.
Oh, I know.
But we've got to be careful.
Well, we've got to be careful. We've got to look after ourselves. We've got to get ourselves out of this mess, and the times will turn, the tides will turn, and people will want to be entertained.
Certainly will, mate. I think we're going to be and probably appreciate each other and gigs and bands and pubs and theatre. We took it for granted, you know, going down a pub, mixing with a bunch of people, chatting,
of course,
and socialising.
The rug's been pulled, and we're just like looking at four walls every day. It's
I know there's no sport, there's no music, it's terrible.
No. So if somebody, for example, said, because I'm going to play a couple of tunes from the album, if somebody said, I like them, I want to get the album, where are they going to get it from?
Yeah, from the website, and also that's 9blazero.com, and also we brought the vinyl out, and you can get that from Heavy Soul. Heavy Soul is a independent vinyl guy, Adam. He's lovely, he's terrific. We need people like that. So we got it out on a couple of formats, and if you want, you can pay me 0.0002 of a penny and string it.
Oh, even better.
No, terrible. 0.0000. If you stream it all night for 24 hours, I'll be out by a pint of milk in December.
I know exactly what you're talking about with streaming.
Yeah, don't get me started on that.
Now, I've got to be honest with you. I bought a record player, and I'm buying vinyl, and I want Avalanche on vinyl. I'm going to tell you
well,
that
I've
now.
I've got one here for you.
I'll love you.
I'll bring it down next jam.
Thank you. I'm going to play that on vinyl because I got all the vinyl out the other day, and I played.
Sweet, isn't it?
I played some old stuff. Well, this.
Yeah.
I've got a new album. Oh, the newest album I've got is Glen Campbell's Adios,
which is
a beautiful album. Beautiful album.
Beautiful.
But I've been playing the Small Faces. I've been playing. Yeah. I've got TCB, the Motown album with the Temps and the Supremes. What else have I been playing? 50 Golden Greats. 20 Golden Greats of the 50s. That was funny.
Oh, yeah. I remember them. Yeah.
That was good with a load of old 50s stuff. Brilliant. American country stuff. But anyway, that was me at the weekend. I'm going to say thanks for phoning today. Thanks for being on. It was a pleasure to have you on,
and pleasure to play with you and to meet you. Yeah, all the best.
Always. Now, when all this silliness finishes, I'd love for you and Mark to come in and do something with me here.
We'll do that for you
on Drive Time. That would really be something special. Yeah. So thank you for that. I'm going to play I Want to Be a Wannabe.
Yeah.
Then we're going to have The Bit That Pays the Bills, and then Austerity Blues, which is quite apt for this
Isn't
time.
It? And it just, yeah, absolutely. So have a good listen to the lyrics, people.
Yes, because it is very, very poignant. Dennis, for the time being, thank you very much. You stay safe, my friend.
Cheers, mate. Bye-bye.
Got the bug, got the thirst for fame. I'm gonna reach the top, gonna make my name. Cause I got bags of star quality, and the world is gonna love me for being me. Gig in Camden, look the part. Well, so what if I can't play guitar? Cause hard work ain't part of the plan, and I'll never get a job like my old man. I wanna be a wannabe. What the world is to look at me? If I shout loud enough, one day you'll see I'm gonna be a wannabe. I wanna be a wannabe. Got the right moves, got the gift of the gab. I am what I eat, I'm on the latest fad. Gluten free, got a real fake tan, and my teeth are so white I could blind a man. I could be a model, I could write a book. Took pictures of my dinner, now I'm a cook. Post another selfie on Instagram. Wouldn't wanna disappoint my 11 fans. I wanna be a wannabe. What the world just to look at me. If I shout loud enough, one day you'll see I'm gonna be a wannabe. I wanna be a wannabe. Too much of a man, you I can't taste the
a shot at celebrity. I'd be a car crash on TV. I'm gonna be a wannabe. Not enough fame, but the years roll on. I'm still in the game, I thought. Why not? I got nothing to lose, 'cause there's not a lot of money singing the blues. I wanna be a wannabe. What the world just to look at me. If I shout loud enough, one day you'll see. I'm gonna be a wannabe. I wanna be a wannabe. What the world just to look at me. If I shout loud enough, one day you'll see. I'm gonna be a wannabe. I wanna be a wannabe. I wanna be a wannabe.
Drive on Phoenix FM, brought to you in association with St. Francis Hospice, doing more than you think.
Go to phoenixfm.com and listen to online guest interviews. Check the events for your area and listen to great radio online.